But the Christian world, particularly the Western Christians, they're the ones that have got the problem with this. They don't understand it.
And why is that? Well, where does that stem from? Because it's obviously, it's not part of Christianity either to actually talk about as far as making Muslims as enemies or anything like that. So where does this come
from?
Well,
it is a Western Christian thing, and it's interesting that you bring this up because I have given this a lot of thought. Now, I spent 12 years in Catholic school, and, you know, what we were always taught is that, you know, the Muslims, you know, when they broke out of the Middle East, they were killing everything, hacking everything to pieces, conversion by the sword. You know, so this was something, and you know, when you have a priest teaching this, you don't think twice about it. You just say, that's what the man says, so that's the way that it is. And in their own defense, I think it's just a matter of passing on bad information that they were given without actually sitting down and investigating it for themselves. But I think that there is an intellectual arrogance about Western Christianity that in large part explains this. You know, if you talk to Christians in the Middle East, the Christians of Lebanon and Syria and Jordan, they don't have that same type of intellectual haughtiness that you will find in the West. Mm-hmm. And I think that it stems from this very rigid understanding that exists in the West that we're smarter, we're better. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're talking about Western Christianity, we're talking about Christianity that merged with the Roman Empire. You know, and the Romans, you know, they, as we know from history, you know, they were not a people who negotiated. You know, they marched in and they conquered, and there was no negotiations, there was no diplomacy. And I think, and this is just my theory, but I think that the merging of Christianity with the Roman model mm-hmm. has produced this imperial mindset, imperial spiritualism, if you want to call it that. And so because of that, and of course, you know, you go through all of the history of Christendom where you have the splits here and the splits there. But I think in general, I think that the West tends to be a very haughty, we know it all type of society. I think it's been that way for a long time. And, I mean, let's face it was Islam that brought the West out of the Dark Ages, okay? I mean, it was Islam that taught them, you know, you don't heal people with headaches by drilling holes in their heads. Brought medicine and science and things like that.
Right. But very few Americans especially understand that.
Right,
know that.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
I want to look at it in general because mm-hmm. it seems that, well, in looking at any problem, you always look at a situation and see who or which entity would benefit the most from any situation. We look at what is happening that is being proposed. It's almost like the new crusades or this mm-hmm. war between Christianity and Islam. Mm-hmm. Who benefits from this type of mentality that seems to be the status quo, unfortunately, right now?
Well, depending on who you talk to and how courageous they want to be with the truth, you know, they'll say it's corporations, it's banks, it's just profits, meaning money, dollar signs. But, you know, my research has brought me to a much deeper level, a much dirtier level than this. And really what it is the third party in this that views your religion and my religion as competing ideologies. These other people are not what we would call live and let live types. Okay, these are the original jihadists. These are the original kill everybody who doesn't agree with us on our religious terms. And of course, I'm talking about Jewish supremacism. The idea that we are God's chosen people and you know, the earth is our oyster and it belongs to us, and therefore we are justified in doing whatever we have to do in order to bring about the commands of this, what I consider to be a very backwards religious cult. Mm-hmm. And so, but you know, they can't, you know, when they look at 1.5 billion Muslims in the world and maybe as much as 2 billion Christians in the world, how best to remove these two competitors than to have them wipe each other out? And I do believe that that is what is in operation here, is that they want to have us exhaust each other. Here's the way that I see it. Islam poses a challenge to these people because Islam refuses to bend the knee to materialism, to atheism, all of the decadent toxins that have destroyed Western civilization. Mm-hmm. Islam, for the most part, refuses to bow to this, whereas the Christian West has kind of come up with this comfortable compromise. We're going to be Christians, but we're going to allow all the filth of Hollywood to destroy our society. We're not going to protect our children. We're not going to protect our women. And so, in effect, what I see, what has gone on here, is that they have, through their control of money and commerce, they have built up the West to be this military and economic powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Okay. For the purpose of going in and physically destroying the Middle East, after which point, after they have exhausted themselves over the course of a century, of, you know, during the, within this clash of civilizations, there will be nothing left. Nothing left of the West and nothing left of the Islamic world. And I think that essentially that is, you know, we're talking about religious fanatics here who believe that this little slice of land on the eastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea is meant to be the capital of the world and the center of the universe, Jerusalem. So it's a very insidious, a very diabolic plan, but I think that the facts bear it out, that this is exactly... And it's, interestingly enough, I actually received an email from somebody years ago, a young man in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. Where he actually said, go ahead and write all of your stupid articles and your stupid books. He said, your kind, meaning the West, you do not yet see what is in store for you in the coming Christian Islamic world. He said, my people will arise out of this victorious, and the rest of you will be reduced to slaves as our prophets and holy men have predicted.
Okay, Mark, what you're talking about, and that you reached this conclusion on your own, of course, we have many, many of those who are supposed to be expertise in the West, strategic thinkers. Are you saying that those who are in power in the U.S., for example, the government, the administration, no one gets it, no one understands what you're saying is going on, or have they basically, I don't know, sold their souls to the devil, per se? What is going on?
I think that it's a mixture. I think depending on how high up the pyramid that you go, mm-hmm. The higher you go, I think the more that the initiates understand what's going on here. But, you know, we had an old saying growing up, going through Catholic school, that was always drummed into our heads, which is that sin clouds the intellect, to where, you know, the deeper steeped you are in sin, the less you're able to think like a rational human being. Mm-hmm. And so despite the fact that, you know, for example, President Obama, you know, he can get on TV and he can speak very well. And President Bush obviously was not as good with it.
Speaking.
He basically had something right around what appeared to be a third grade education. You know, they can get out there and they can put on a pretty good show, but ultimately, you know, they've lost the ability to reason in a moral way. You know, people, when they, you know, when we get into these discussions like this, you know, and particularly people in our line of work, and they say, well, Obama's doing this and he's doing that. And I have to remind them, there are 100,000 people at least in Libya who are dead because of Barack Obama. There are at least 100,000 people in Syria who are dead because of Barack Obama. To say nothing of Iraq, you know, all those munitions that were used in Gaza and other places, you know, all of that came by Barack Obama pushing a button and making it happen. So you're dealing with people here who, why do they have to believe in God? Why do they have to believe in the afterlife? They have all the power that a human being could imagine possessing in this life. And so they kind of, yeah, they'll bring God up once in a while. But do their actions actually indicate that they live with any kind of fear of the Lord? No. So, yeah, I think that they do know exactly what they're doing. If people like you and I, with the limited resources that we have, if we can put the pieces of this puzzle together and get a pretty good idea about what's going on, then I'm pretty sure, given their positions and the resources that they have, that the picture that you and I are able to glean from this is just a drop in the bucket compared to what they know.
Media's role in all of this?
Black magic. That's what it is. It's black magic. These programs you see of somebody laying on a couch in a psychiatrist's office, and he's going to put them under, and he gets that little pocket watch, and he says, watch the pocket watch as it swings back and forth. This is the media. Whether it's movies, whether it's music, everything is geared towards intoxicating the mind in such a way that a person cannot think logically or morally. And it's not just the bad information politically. This is something that I came to understand when I came to Iran back in November. And you weren't bombarded with all of this noise. And it's not, like I said, it's not just the bad information, political information or you know, moral information. It was just the stupid stuff. It's the chatter that takes place on TV. You know, even the cartoons, you can see that the cartoons in America are deliberately geared towards making our children stupid to where they can't think. So the media is, I liken this to, you know, the story in the Bible of the serpent whispering into the ear of Eve and saying, I know the Islamic version of it is slightly different because Eve doesn't bear the, and I tend to sympathize with that. I think that women are blamed for far too many things that have gone wrong. But nevertheless, just for the purposes of this discussion, it's the same black magic that the serpent used in the garden. Mm-hmm. Is that same black magic that is used to, that has turned the American and really the Western mind into this inebriated organ that doesn't function above a very rudimentary level, really no more than voting for somebody who's been selected to run, paying your taxes, buying garbage, and then sending your children off to fight and die in places such as Iraq and Afghanistan.